Alrighty, we're live.
Yo,
Yo.
what's good?
This 3-day weekend.
Word. Episode
I'm grateful for it.
467. Yeah, I'm grateful that you're gonna get some rest.
That's all I've been doing is resting and sleeping.
Yeah,
I don't know
I'm
what
all
happened
right.
yesterday. I just slept almost the entire day, and I felt so good, and I don't feel guilty for it.
Okay, you did get up to eat and stuff, right?
Yeah, I did. I did. And then I went right back to sleep.
Okay.
I woke up for like four times and I ate each time and then went back to sleep.
Yeah, I miss your face.
I miss yours.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, because we didn't record last week because we had, or I had the whole hurricane watch scare that turned to a really bad tropical storm. Which that's okay. I mean, that did its own sort of damage and it was a lot of rain. And since then, my internet has been so weird. I think I have to actually have to call Spectrum and see if they can go and check out something because it rained a lot. So.
Word. Since you've been sleeping and stuff like that, played anything?
Kind of. I mean, I played Move or Die the other day with a couple friends, which is a really fun multiplayer game. Not tonight, which I think I'm almost close to being fully done with that, at least for my first
You
playthrough,
almost got me with
and a
that
little bit.
when you said not tonight, you almost got me. I had to think and process that you were talking about a game.
Yes. And then, a little bit of Fortnite, and that's kind of it. Nothing really too heavy these last like several days.
Sweet, sweet. Cool. Guys, you're listening to episode 467 of the show radio. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey guys, I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, it's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you find podcasts. Welcome to this episode 467. Next thing that we have, I definitely want to talk to you, Daniela, about a quick BMW update. I was able to do the inspection on the car after I did the sensors, the bottom sensors. So I was able to go to the mechanic and he let me use his lift to do the sensors on the bottom, which was absolutely incredible. He didn't charge me anything, which was even more incredible.
Wow.
And so that worked out great. So I wanted to share that with you for sure, and for you guys who tune in to the show, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. We're excited about it. That's pretty much all we can say there. And I know you're excited about it. Any thoughts on that?
I'm not gonna jump the gun on that one.
You're
Yes, I am
excited?
excited. I
Okay, yeah,
am.
that
I am.
okay. Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. So you have that. And also Whisper of the Worm, just before we recorded, I said I was running late. And full disclosure, I was running late because of that. I was trying to get this mission done because I was being carried basically through the mission. So all I had to do was just be there, roam around, and I did get to the end to finish it with the group that I was doing it with. So definitely shout outs to Mr. Takeover. That's Takeover without the E. He carries people through those, I guess I'm gonna assume those tough missions. Right now is the Whisper of the Worm. For free. Like you just show up on his channel and he just walks you through the thing and he's pretty much doing it solo. And if you happen to get to the end, that's cool. If you don't, he's still gonna get it done for you. So and he carried me through that. I kind of ran into him on Bungie.net and he had posted something that he was doing carries for the Whisper of the Worm, and there's still people who do that, which is dope. So I got the elusive sniper rifle, one of the most powerful sniper rifles to date in the game right now. And that happened.
So that's what you're doing. You're playing Destiny. Okay.
I said full disclosure.
Okay.
So that's what happened with that. Any other things that you're playing? Anything that you want to share at the top?
No, not yet. There's a couple games I was hoping that I was going to start yesterday, but since I was slumbering like a sloth or a bear in hibernation, I didn't get to them. I have a couple new games I want to touch on, but none that I've started yet. One's being what's it called? Two Point Hospital, which is that game, that sim hospital game that we saw at PC Gaming Show. That is that. I was very excited to get it. I didn't get to start it yet. And the other one is a Big Brother's watching type of sim game called Need to Know. But I have them. I just haven't been able to start them yet. Maybe today, maybe later on tonight if I don't go back into hibernation.
Okay. All right. No problem. No
We'll see.
problem. So you have that. Next thing is we'll jump right into technology news. 27 facts about Linux, how to compress images without losing quality, and one that you may truly benefit from depending on how you have your setup on your phone, a rootless launcher, which is a launcher that is very similar to the Google Pixel launcher. And apparently, this particular developer was doing updates through GitHub, which was kind of not as convenient as just having it in the Google Play Store. So finally, it was released to be on the Google Play Store, and you could just download it there. I've been checking it out today, and it's really dope. Any thoughts on any of these things?
No, not for me.
Okay, very cool. A couple of facts I definitely want to mention about Linux because I am a fan. So I'm going to open up this thing here. I think one of the things that caught my attention was the, let me see. I think it was a number 15. Let me go to 15. Was it 15? Okay, proof of Linux is successful. Oh no, 12. Steve Jobs offered Linus Torvalds a job in 2000 on the condition that he stopped development on Linux, but he declined. And I'm glad he did because we're able to get the software the way we use it. And from what I understand, a lot of cloud systems are operated by Linux. And this particular article talks about 27 facts of that. That kind of stuff. Definitely check that out. I have a link for that in the show notes. Next thing, entertainment news. Did you do any Ozark at all?
I started it. I started watching it. It's a very, I don't know, for me, it's a very slow buildup. Like, I can't binge watch that. And hey, Solab.
What up, bro? How you
How you
feel?
doing, man? And I'm enjoying it, but yeah, like I said, I can't exactly binge watch it. And you know what? Okay, full disclosure, I didn't get to watch episode what is it, 466 with you and Paris, because you guys started going in on it, and I was like, spoilers, spoilers, turn this off.
Yeah, it was that we didn't do video on that one. It was audio only. And it was really a test. And I guess if I could give some like a technical, I guess, aspects of that, we actually recorded the conversation for those who are listening to this one. Definitely check out 466, which is the one that we did with Paris. That was a Google Hangout with OBS recording in the background. That's it. So when people say that it's very difficult to capture certain conversations, I think OBS has been an all-star for me since the beginning of the year. I've used it for the way we record stuff here. I've used it for Hangouts offline, and you could even use it for WhatsApp if you push the WhatsApp to your web player. So if somebody's in, I don't know, Portugal or something, somewhere, awesome, Hawaii or something like that, and they don't necessarily have all the tools, they'd rather use WhatsApp. How would you capture that conversation? Well, you can do it on the phone. That'd be kind of cool. Maybe not so much, but if you push the WhatsApp to the web in your browser and then you let OBS do the recording, you still capture a great conversation because at the end of the day, you just want the conversation. So that's pretty much how that happened. But yeah, we went all over with spoilers. All
Yep,
over.
and I turned it off. I'm like, I'm not listening to this
But
anymore.
I put a disclaimer at the very top, though.
Yeah, I did. As soon as you said, like, oh, it's gonna be spoiled, there wasn't even a gap in between that pause of, oh, we're gonna go in spoilers on this. Oh yeah, we just go in, and you guys just like went. I'm like, off, closing the browser,
30
not
minutes,
listening.
fast forward 30 minutes, And if you do the 30 minutes fast forward, you can get to Destiny stuff if that's your thing. Definitely check that out. I'm going to have a link in the show notes for that. So season two is now live. I think season two went live Friday. Same as Eminem's album, I believe.
Yeah.
Which was Friday. So I want to hear your thoughts on M's new album, Kamikaze.
So we have been awesome. It's just getting back into the flow of things. We've had some natural disasters, some family things, some health things.
Car issues.
Our recording. Yeah, car issues. But we've been good. We've been good, man. I hope you've been well, too. Yeah. Okay, so I was actually surprised. Like, I think I just happened to be on Twitter and like somebody's like, Eminem's new album, like he came out with a new album and apparently it dropped at midnight, which was like just 2 hours before, like it was live for 2 hours. I was super quick to just pull it up on Spotify. That first track, The Ringer, oh my God, he just
joint.
Like he went in and he went in on everybody and everything. That entire album is. And I think it's almost kind of genius how he, I don't know if the correct term would be inspired by or plagiarized the album cover, because that's from the Beastie Boys. And there's only very small details that have been changed to it. But it's like, if you're looking at it, first glance, you think Beastie Boys. No, if you look very super close to it, it's like, oh, okay, this is Eminem's new thing. It really was, because when I first pulled it up on Spotify, it's like, this is Beastie Boys. I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's not. I was very quick to send a link to my son because my son likes those rappers so much. Lil This, Lil That, Lil Barbie. I don't know. There's so many Lil rappers. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the only Lil rapper that I will recognize and no longer goes by Lil anything is Lil Bow Wow.
Are you serious?
That's it. I don't really care for anybody else. Like, it's just so, it's
wait, hold
so
on a
kills
second.
Me.
Not even Lil Wayne?
Yeah, I get tired of the Lil stuff.
My gosh. That is
blasphemy. No, I recognize Lil Wayne.
Blasphemy.
But it's overdone. It's overkill it. And, you know, they all do sound the same. And it's just kind of killer. But what kind of kills me is that, for once, like, Eminem actually came out with an album before this. Excuse me, the name of the album. Was it Revival? It starts with R. I like completely went blank on that. But he actually had a positive message in his songs and he was actually being positive and people hated it.
Mm.
And they gave him so much crap for it. And, you know, they said he was falling off. He's no longer good. He's irrelevant. And then he came out Kamikaze and he went back to what he was. And every, like, diss tracks over here, right, bad mouthing people, and people love it. It's like he tries to do a good thing. People hate him for it. He does the wrong thing. People hate him for it, but they love him for it at the same time. It's like a lose-lose for him, even though it was a very hot track. Oh my God, the whole album I loved. There was like, okay. No, I can't remember the title of some of the songs. There was a couple that I didn't.
Greatest?
I was like, it was okay.
Is one.
It was okay.
Ringer. Greatest. You didn't like Greatest?
Oh, no, I liked it. I liked it. I can't remember the other one that I liked that I kind of skipped over. I probably overall, honestly, listened to the whole track maybe 8 times.
Mm.
But I'm really bad with song title names.
All right,
but
so
I remember The Ringer,
The
Greatest.
And you have The Ringer, The Greatest, Lucky You featuring Joyner Lucas. You have The Skit. You have Normal. You have M Calls Paul, which I think that's where I got to. I didn't even get to. I'm so stuck on The Ringer. I mean, he's brilliant, you know. That's really what it is. So I didn't even get to the bottom half yet. I heard Venom is, you know, supposedly going to be on the Venom for the motion picture, according to what it says. Venom, music from the motion picture. That's the title. So that's going to happen. But just the first couple of tracks, especially Joyner Lucas, I slept on him a lot. And he's really, really, really good. But yeah. So what else you have? M Calls, oh no, Stepping Stone, Not Alike, Kamikaze, Fall, Nice Guy, a Good Guy, and then Venom. And those are the rest of the tracks.
Okay, so the actual track that's named Kamikaze, I have like, it's like a 50-50 so far with me.
What's up, Tiger?
Like, I feel that's that one track. That's that one track that is like almost notorious through all of Eminem's thing. It's a very goofy beat to it, very playful. Like, he's just like kind of known for it, having in all his songs. But that one, I noticed with that out, that specific song, it's I either really, really, really like it, but then I can listen to it again and I'm like, I really don't like this.
Mm.
So it's like a 50-50. I'm not sure how I feel about that one yet.
Yeah.
And I know there's another, I can't remember what it is. I got to go back and listen to it and I'll let you know. But for the most part, for the majority of the tracks there, I love him.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. So you have that. We really, really loved Kamikaze, still working through it. And I know, like, as soon as I heard the first track, I was like, wow. Okay, so the other thing, to your point, I don't think Eminem ever lost, you know, his skill set. He was trying something different with the previous album, Revival, and it wasn't well received by the critics. But there's always going to be critics, and I think that Eminem throughout his musical career or discography, you know, Soleb is saying that first track was so sick. I mean, Eminem is just a monster, an alien, you know, he's in his own category. Is that when you look at his discography, a lot of his songs, he was always defending how great he was. Like, he always had songs that talked about, yeah, you guys are still, you know, denying my skill set, you know, to those themes. And I'm like, bro, you're like one of the best rappers still rapping today. Like, what is the, but I think it's that underdog thing. And I think that whenever you have done great, you know, quote unquote exploits and stuff like that, and you've done great things in your particular industry, you know, there's always going to be that thing in the back of your mind that, hey, you know, I'm still here, you know? And I think that putting out this album shows that you should not even consider, if you're a rapper today, you should not even consider stepping into the realm of Eminem, because he will eat you alive. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Just don't do it. But overall, I think it was really good to see and hear some of the tracks. I'm not done with the album yet, but I'm working through it. And any final thoughts on that?
Just to mirror what you said, I think it's, I don't know if he'll ever get rid of that underdog mentality, because he spent majority of his life before even becoming the celebrity that he is, trying to prove himself so many times. And so it's always because I think, and I hate to bring race into it, but it's always because he is a Caucasian rapper, which isn't very common, I guess you could say. But it's almost that mentality of like, oh, if you're Caucasian, you can't be that good of a rapper. But I feel it's like he's constantly having to prove himself and show that he has a talent that everybody else sees that maybe he doesn't necessarily recognize. Like, I don't know what's going to take for him to feel that he's like he's made it, although he's, I don't know how many albums he's already sold, how many millions he's already made. But then you have this new generation that's coming in. Like, our generation can say how great of a rapper he is and how, like, how much he's done. But like a generation like my sons, who will recognize Drake, right. Drake as one of the best rappers, and I don't see it. Or I think, who's my son's other favorite? Lil Uzi or something like that. Okay. I don't even know who Lil Uzi is. Yeah. I don't know, but it's like, I can't tell the difference.
Right.
I cannot tell the difference in the beats or the lyrics or who it is, because they all sound the same to me. And like, it drives me insane. And I feel like my parents are like, that's not good music. This is good music. But I can't tell the difference. And that's what I think is really bad about this generation's rap, is that none of these rappers, none of these artists have what I think a voice of their own. Whereas I believe the rappers that, you know, we grew up listening to, you could hear just like one or two lines, not even just the second line, just that first line, and you know who it is. You know their style. You don't even have to hear them. If you go just by the beats and how they come out, you know who that's going to be. Whereas this generation, I don't know. And it's not because I don't want to try to. It's just that if you all sound the same, then I can just pick in a barrel and it doesn't really matter.
Right. And but we also have to look at how technology has evolved, right? Distribution is different today. There's so many distribution channels. And, you know, back then, the way things were distributed through labels and stuff like that, you know, they were paced where there was a yearly release, or it's a different pace now as the artists are coming out. And to be, I'll take the other side. I'll kind of defend the sounds, because their rhythms, the things that we hear today with some of the rappers, that they sound very similar, is the same thing like the reggae dancehall industry has had for a long time. You have the different artists coming out, and the beats that they would use, or the rhythms that they will call them, that they will use, would be virtually exactly the same. And to distinguish who would be who was almost an issue. But even then, to your point, they were iconic voices there with the Buju Bantans and Barris Hammonds and all those guys that for that particular reggae industry. Now, for our generation now, for the trap music and stuff like that, if you're familiar with the sound of the artist, you can pick them out. But you know who Redman is, you know who Method Man is, you know what Drake sounds like, you know what Wayne sounds like, you know. So there's even in the mishmash of who we have today, we can still technically pick out who some of these artists are that have been around for a while. So it depends. It depends on the situation. So I'm kind of with them and not with them at the same time, because, you know, there's so many different styles of music. I'm trying to give them a little bit more acceptance, if that makes sense, because it's still an art form that they're expressing themselves and stuff like that. So I'm on the fence. I'm a little on the fence with it.
Yeah, I'm not. I already know what side of the fence I'm on. No, I'm not. But you know who I do like, who is, I think, is still relatively new? I like Cardi B. Cardi's, I like,
dope.
Her.
Cardi's dope.
I like her. I like her style. I like her voice.
Nicki's dope. She's struggling with a couple of things, but she's dope too.
Okay.
She's dope too.
I will gladly trade any of those in for some full revival of, like, Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott. Oh, Missy Elliott is... Okay, so it's interesting you said Missy Elliott, because I went back recently and checked out one of her albums, and it felt like it was released, like, this generation, because she's so dope.
I think she's awesome. I love her.
Yeah. So you're going to come out with an album, according to Tiger?
No. No. But Solom says, I can agree about the reggae genre, but I still think their presentation now is just horrible. I think that's why when you hear these out of nowhere albums from our favorite rappers are so great. Elsa says that, I can understand Cardi B and Nicki because they have that classic rap style. Yeah, they do. And they're very different, and they're not terrible. And I like listening to them still. My son does not like Cardi B whatsoever. And the thing is, I don't remember the first song that I've heard of hers, but it reminded me so much of, like, late 90s rap that I'm like, oh, I dig this. Who is this? And she was just a new artist.
I got an artist for you.
Who?
Partisan Fontaine.
That name doesn't ring a bell to me.
Yeah, I need you to check out Partisan Fontaine. And you tell me if you dig anything that he has. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Maybe another time. But definitely check out Partisan Fontaine. I was going to give you another name that we're familiar with. We talked about Missy Elliott. I threw out MC Light. I was going to give you another rapper that I'm sure you've heard of. Redman, Method Man. I don't know. It slipped me. But yeah, Partisan Fontaine is really dope.
The Doja Cat. Okay, I saw that Conrad 20. I don't know about that one, but okay. Oh, I thought the video was funny.
It just came back to me. Black Thought from The Roots. Did you hear that freestyle that he did? It was like a, what was it, like 10-minute freestyle or something like that? Like
no.
Bars? Okay, I'll send you that link. I think it was 10 minutes or something like that. Black Thought from The Roots, which is an iconic band. They've been doing music for such a long time, but the lead guy for The Roots, his name is Black Thought, and he is just, he's an alien too. He's in the, you know, when you think of dope, you think of, in their own tier, you'd have Jay-Z, Biggie, Tupac, Black Thought, and who else we're discussing here, and that group, right? Eminem, of course. So you have Eminem, Black Thought, Jay-Z. Those guys have their own tier of dopeness, legendary dopeness, right? And so I'll definitely send you that. Yeah, it's a lot of rap stuff today, peeps. Thank you guys for checking out and hanging out, for sure. Any other thoughts on that?
Mm-mm. I guess I gotta go and listen up on stuff for episode 4.
No, I got you. We'll work it out. So a couple of things before we get into the video game stuff. This episode has been brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a free VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, allows you to access your favorite websites no matter where you live or travel to. To get 20% off your account, visit theshoradio.info/ProXPN to use the promo code SHORAM for 20% off the lifetime of your account. This episode is also brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes cooking fun and easy. Blue Apron provides you with all the ingredients that you need to make a delicious meal in exactly the right proportions. To get $30 off your first Blue Apron order, visit theshowradio.info/Blue Apron for that. Video game news, Daniela, what's up?
Okay, just got to address one last thing. So how about Run the Jewels? Run the Jewels. They get me pretty hype. I was so stoked, and like I blew my mind when they teamed up for the gear stuff. Man, that was so good. But anyways, video game stuff.
Run the Jewels. Elaborate, please.
Yeah. Well, they teamed up with the Gears 4 stuff. They had their own song. They had their own skins. They had their own pack.
Got it.
So I guess you got to go and listen to Run the Jewels. Now you have to go do some research.
Oh. Look at you. So, yeah, that's what's going on with that. Okay, so a couple of things in video game news, you, the podcast listener. We wanted to make this show a little bit shorter this week because of the holiday weekend. If you celebrate that holiday, we wanted to give you something very light to go into the weekend, nothing too lengthy this time around as it relates to the podcast, episode 467. But we got news. We got news. And there's stuff that we can't talk about yet because we just can't. Okay, we have those. Battlefield 5 delayed November. Any thoughts on that?
It sucks, but maybe it's for the smart thing. I don't know. I think they're going to be running a little bit behind. If they're going to be delayed till November, that means COD obviously has a jump start on them. I don't know. I guess if they have to, they have to. You don't want to release anything that's meh. But catch you later, Solo. Have a good one. Enjoy your movie. That's all I got to really say about that. Word. That's all I got to really say about that. I think just having it delayed automatically gives COD that huge head start, which is more than enough to really set them behind.
You're not a fan.
Well, I'm never a fan. I don't think anybody's ever a fan of delays, but I'm also welcoming to it because obviously there's stuff they need to polish.
Right.
I'd rather have a game that is complete from day one rather than like they're going to patch it over time. Then you have this rough start to begin with that nobody ever likes.
Fair enough. Battlefield 5 PC open beta will include a profanity filter. If that's your thing, definitely look into that. Battlefield 5, I'm really, really excited about. But as I've mentioned in previous episodes, my thing is when I aim in that game, I'm not satisfied with the results. And I don't know what it is about Battlefield. Maybe it will change in this one. I don't know. But that's my thing. So EA, please let me know what's up with that. I just feel like it's not a sure thing for me when I aim in Battlefield games. 3, 4, specifically. But that's just me. So you have that. Extension abilities and Twitch chat, Twitch Prime changes. Daniela, you are the big Twitch person. I'm a noob trying to get my Twitch game up. Any thoughts on those things?
Well, I use some extensions. I got to go through and look at it because they keep adding so much more extensions. It kind of actually fall behind. It can be over bothersome, though. It can be very too cluttering. So personal opinion is just pick what suits you better. Now, this one that's going to be, they're adding this extension ability for devs to start implementing if they want to, so that it shows up in chat rather than as an overlay while you're streaming or as an update in your panels below. So it's just more eye-catching, I guess. I guess that's cool. I don't have it implemented. I know that they have something out for WoW. I don't know what else they have right now. They just have to have developers jump on it and see what it is. Because currently right now, for devs to be able to implement something that is chat-based, they have to use IRC's API to make that happen. I think the problem with that is, and I find it with even widgets that I use now, is that when Twitch starts doing updates to their backend, like, their API changes and it affects everything. And sometimes they don't even bother to tell people when it's going to change. And it really drives me insane. But having it directly implemented into the chat.
Why do you think that is? That they don't necessarily give those changes ahead of time. What is it?
They probably give it to the devs. But for, like, users, like, for us who have, like, third-party software to use, like, for our chatbot, I don't think they would have to have a reason to go and tell us. Like, they'll tell us, like, hey, we're going to be updating these layouts, but they don't give a breakdown fully about what it is. And it's probably because we're just a low priority to find out. And then we have to find out from, you know, these third-party softwares that we utilize, like, oh, yeah, they made some changes, so we're going to have to do this, or you have to re-authenticate that. It can be a pain. So I think with this now, with them making it as part of their suite for the developers, it just eliminates that problem with them using a third party to authenticate their API through that. So now it's like it's more one-to-one with Twitch.
Okay. So the other thing too, according to this article, as we have continued to add value to Twitch Prime, we also have re-evaluated some of the existing Twitch Prime benefits. As a result, universal ad-free viewing will no longer be part of Twitch Prime for new members starting on September 14th. What does that mean, Daniela?
So basically, like, the number one benefit that I think everybody loved when Twitch Prime became a thing, Amazon acquired them, was that as long as you had Amazon Prime and you had your Twitch account tied to it, you had the benefits of having no ads on whatever channel that you watched, whatever channel, there was no ads on it. And that was awesome. Now they're saying that they had to reevaluate it and they're going to take away that privilege of, like, even though you pay for your $120 a year subscription to Amazon, you're no longer going to have ad-free viewing because it's taken away from, you know, partners being able to make money from it. But if you want the Twitch Prime, like, or the ad-free viewing on Twitch, you have to sign up for Twitch Turbo, which is an additional $9 a month.
Not doing that.
No. No. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And they try to balance it out with, like, oh, but you'll still get your free Prime sub. You'll get all of these games. Honestly, I would gladly forfeit my free games for ad-free viewing.
Right.
Because right now, majority of the people, I think, signed up or have Twitch Prime for those benefits. And so many people have complained that they're like, okay, well, if I'm not going to have ad-free viewing, I'm going to cancel my Prime and just use ad blockers. Because what's the point if you're going to make me pay an additional $9 just to block ads?
Right.
And then if their whole concern was the reason why they took it away was to help support their partner streamers more, a lot of them is pretty much says, like, well, I will just directly support through tips the people that I like watching. That's it.
Absolutely.
So, and I agree with them. I just, that's ridiculous. I'd rather have ad-free viewings. That's it. Keep your free games. I don't care for your free games. Because most of the time, I either have the game already or they don't interest me.
Word.
Or they're for skins for games I don't play.
No, I definitely agree with that. Especially with, we're trying to bypass ads wherever we are on the internet. So the fact that they're doing that is just kind of weird. But a lot of changes on that front. And it seems like they're coming out every other week or every 8 to 10 days. There's been a couple of changes the last 2 weeks. So that's been interesting to watch how that plays out. So that's what's going on with that. Next thing we have the voice NBA Jam, Tim Kitzrow, is now doing stuff for Dota 2. Any thoughts on that?
No, I don't even watch Dota. I know it's like this huge game and there's so much money behind it, but I don't really pay attention to Dota. I don't pay attention to League. All I know is, he's got to get a nice bill of bonus. I mean, Dota isn't like hurting for money or anything. That's still a very lucrative thing. I know the band Imagine Dragons.
I have no idea who they are. Are they dope?
Yeah, they're actually really good. I like them. Have you watched, oh man, what's a TV show? It was a sci-fi, but it was canceled.
Serenity?
No, not Serenity. It was like on for like three. Defiance. They do have a game. Oh, I knew that was coming and I should have answered it.
The Defiance is a game. I played a little bit of it. It was cool. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. The TV show I really, really like. Imagine Dragons did the intro song for them. Mm. So, should go and check it out. They have a couple good ones.
Word, word, word. So you have that. Super Meat Boy Gets Card Game. Still a dope platformer. If you have not played that, definitely check that out. Sega wants to know if you want more Yakuza games. Danielle, any thoughts on those two?
Yeah, see me. That's all you. I haven't played it. The better question is, would you like more Yakuza games? What's up, Shake Sweet? It's like nasty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely want to see more Yakuza games because I think they're amazing. I think they're the games that held us over until Shenmue was re-released to the world. And they recently did that HD collection pack. And I think the Shenmue 3 was announced to be coming out for August 2019. I think that's what they announced. So excited for, you know, that whole Shenmue stuff. I love Shenmue. And I think Shenmue really made me enjoy Yakuza even more. So, yeah, I would love to see more Yakuza games. And even on top of that, Yakuza Studio revealing a new IP in September. So that's part of some of the things that they've been announcing as it relates to that. What is up, Straight Sick Nasty? What is up, bro? I haven't heard from you in a while, so definitely give him a shout. Let me know when you come over. Destiny 2 PC Master Race needs you in the dark side. No, bro. I enjoy playing on the PlayStation, man. I really have fun there. Just got the Whisper of the Worm today. Just random Destiny stuff. So we talked about that earlier today. So that's what's going on with that, Daniela. I'm a fan of Yakuza. I'm looking forward to the new IP announcement, depending what that is. Next thing, you know, it's something that I don't know if you're excited about or not because you're very particular about the games that you play. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is now backwards compatible on Xbox. Any thoughts on that?
Woo!
Yeah, that's what I expected. That's exactly what I expected. Moving on, Xbox Game Pass titles, you can remotely download them using the app. The app is an Android app, I believe. So that article was Android Authority. That's where I pulled that. It's going to be linked in the show notes. A Gwent single player campaign is now a standalone RPG. Going to have a link for that in the show notes as well. Any thoughts on that?
Gwent just like took off on its own. It just, absolutely. It was a game within a game that people liked, and now it's its own standalone RPG. That's actually just as pretty cool. You can just, it says a lot for fans.
Word. Yeah, Gwent is pretty dope. I played it and I got burnt really bad. I was like, yeah, you know, just do all this stuff up front. And I'm like, wait, if I do this too early, then I'm losing now. So yeah, so that whole game thing was cool. The Super Meat Boy game that we mentioned earlier, I'm interested in that because the platformer was amazing. Controls are really tight, and card games, it takes me a while to get used to. You know, I love Uno, but it was just a basic game. But some of these card games are really, really complex. So I need more time to check them out and learn how they do. So you have that. Next thing we have is a PS4 Cloud Remote. That is a thing. So if you're looking for a remote for your PlayStation 4, introducing the Cloud Remote for PlayStation 4. It says enjoy hassle-free remote programming enabled by advanced cloud technology. Danielle, thoughts on this?
I had a remote for my PS3.
Word.
I don't remember how much I used it.
Fair enough.
I know I had it. I don't even know what. I guess I use it for just watching Blu-rays most of all. But this thing apparently does a whole lot. So what is it?
Yeah.
How much is it going for right now?
It's $49.99 with a purchase.
No. Wait. The Cloud Remote is officially licensed and will be available for $29.99.
Okay. So I'm looking at the wrong thing. As an added bonus, gamers get a 30-day free trial of the PlayStation View Core plan worth $49.99. Okay, so I was looking at the wrong thing. My apologies. Here's a few benefits to the brand new Cloud Remote for PlayStation 4. Includes control for power input and volume for TVs. Hassle-free cloud-assisted technology for programming remotes. Connects via Bluetooth to control your PlayStation 4 system. Access all essential controls under one thumb. With a sleek and compact design, I don't know why I find that funny, but whatever. Features the most important buttons for navigating system menus and apps. And you said $29.99. Yes, you can pre-order now at PDP's website. Oh, they're pretty dope. I like them. I like PDP actually, as well as GameStop and Amazon and PDP.com/cloud-remote. If you're interested in that, definitely check that out. Yeah, that's what's going on. Not to jump ahead, but the hype is real. LOL. Let me know when you get to the Gambit review. Would love to know your thoughts and feelings if you got a chance to play it. That is, says Strasic Nasset. I did get a chance to play it. Stay tuned for that. We briefly talked about it on 466, which dropped earlier today. I was talking to a buddy of mine. His name is Paris from Gamertag Radio. We had a great conversation about that, and we also talked about Ozark, but I'll touch on it here as well, which is no problem. So that's what's going on with that. Next thing we have Destiny 2 and God of War 3 remastered headlines, September's PlayStation Plus, and there are definitely some other games on that list. We'll have that in the show notes as well. I really like God of War. God of War is really, really dope. I didn't play the new one, but the fact that it headlines for September's PlayStation Plus, that's pretty dope. Thoughts on those things?
I think that's huge. I love that one. I mean, Destiny 2, yes, that's pretty big title to have as part of the September PS Plus, but I think that's actually just really good marketing because you had Forsaken that just came out, and that's happening. So just to like lure people in, come back to us.
Absolutely.
But I'm all about the God of War 3. The remastered. I think that's a really awesome choice. Even if Destiny isn't your thing, I think PS Plus for this month is definitely worth it for just that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So definitely check those things out. Ozark and Destiny 2, as I mentioned, I talked about that on 466, and that could lead right into the Gambit. So perfect timing. Straight Sit Nasty. I think that Gambit is an amazing mode. It's going to take a lot of great strategies to do well. Weapons are going to be a big thing. who's going to be the runner, who's going to be the invader, and how you're going to strategically do the moats, you know, 5, 10, 15, and that kind of a thing with your players. I think that the strategy is going to be so dope. You can get beaten by a 3-man team, even though it's a 4v4 game. If they're that dope, they can beat you. You know, that kind of thing, because their strategy is amazing. The game mode is a PvEvP mode. That's how they're advertising it. And I believe that esports can really benefit from this mode as it relates to the Gambit mode, because it has all the elements where commentators and all the individuals who are in the esports scene, I can see this thing on big screens, on huge arenas, and it's a big, big deal. Whether they decide to go the esports route with it, that's up to them. You know, whether we learn the proper strategies to play the way we're supposed to, that's up to us. And as it relates to the rules that they're going to enforce and penalize individuals who leave early and that kind of a thing in the game modes, I think that's needed. But outside of that, I think they did a fantastic job on the mode. And large scale maps, if that's a thing, that's going to be dope. I think Paris was talking about, to some degree, big team battle may be a thing. He didn't call it big team battle, but when he was, you know, talking about it and we were discussing it, speculating and stuff like that, I was thinking big team battle as it relates to larger maps, vehicles, and all those things that can probably take place in Gambit. So overall, I think it's an amazing mode. I'm terrible at it right now, and I hope that changes in the future.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now I want to know what Signassi had to say about it. He wanted to know your thoughts so much. Thought he was jumping ahead.
So you
came at the perfect time.
Fell right in line with that. So that's pretty much what's going on with that. Another thing that we're really, 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 really excited for is Streets of Rage 4. Okay? After 20-plus years, Daniela, talk to me.
I'm excited. Oh my goodness, am I excited. And it looks pretty good too. I was very, very impressed by what they showed. The only thing that makes me sad is the fact that they don't have an announcement date yet. But it's okay. I can wait. It's all right. I can forgive them for that.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to see what they're going to do with that. And that particular company, they are really, really good at doing retro things. They're known for doing retro things. So I'm going to link them in the show notes as it relates to the things that they do. And I was trying to see if I can pull it up right now, but I do not have it in front of me. So definitely we'll have the link for that in the show notes. The next thing I do have also in the show notes is Remedy, the company behind Alan Wake. They're considering doing multiplayer games. And I have thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts first, and I'll give mine.
I don't have any thoughts on that one.
Okay, fair enough.
You got me off guard with that.
Fair enough. So my thought is this, as it relates to all the games that are coming out that are ongoing online games, we're spending a lot of time playing those games, and it's not necessarily a new product, but it's a product that seems to be selling really well. You look at the GTA online, you look at the Destiny type game, you look at the Division game itself, and there's another company that's making a game that's it's an online shooter type, and that we did cover it a couple of episodes back, where it has like a Destiny inspired feel to it, and how they're going to do the combat system within the world was really intriguing. And it was just a trailer that they dropped maybe like 6 and 8 months ago. It feels that it's been that long, but those games are doing really well. Outside of that package, you have the Game Plus package that seems to be coming back. And just this is my opinion, obviously. I see that a lot of single-player games are going to be adopting the Games Plus thing. They're going to give you the game, and then they're going to give you the Plus version of the game. We've seen that with God of War, and I think we're going to see something like that with Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and other games may implement that. We've seen the Battle Royale season, and all the games that have been Royale in some way, shape, or form. You have the Auto Royale, whichever company did that. You have the H1Z1. You have the PUBG. You have the Fortnite. And one is going to be the cream of the cream, you know, according to whatever that game is. So the next package for Remedy, since they've been known for single-player games for such a long time, they see that, you know, for them financially, it could be great if they consider doing an ongoing game, because a lot of companies are focusing on that, because there's even awards given for that and recognition for an ongoing game that is done well. If they do it well, that's great. They did Quantum Break. I think they did that. I think that was Remedy, if my memory serves me correctly. So there is a market for that type of genre of games if that's, you know, the direction that they want to go. And it's going to be interesting to see what Sega does with the new IP that they're considering, because the last new IP that we remember to some degree that Sega did was Binary Domain, which was a shooter a while ago. And I don't think we've seen anything that new from Sega. They did a lot of repolish and reintroductions of Sonic the last couple of years, maybe 2-3 years. And then Yakuza has been a big thing coming back. And I fell in love with that when I played it for the PlayStation 3 and now PlayStation 4. And they're considering doing more localization for that, because there's a market for it and we're embracing those games even more. And a lot of the platforms are so PC friendly now that it's so easy to start doing the region acceptance from the other regions, which makes it easier for us to enjoy these games that we haven't. And of course, Switch is making it so easy for stuff to be ported, if that's the terminology we want to use, but they're doing new games as well. You know, it's getting smaller. You know, the world is getting smaller as it relates to the games and what we're getting. So, yeah.
You went in deep on that one.
Yeah. Was it okay?
Yeah.
Again, it will be one of those modes that would be a big team, a communication game type, working together to dominate, and that ultimately will be a great win for Bungie. It will bring a whole new competitive game type and excitement to Destiny 2. That's from Straight Sick Nasty, and I definitely agree, man. It's going to be amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what they're going to do with that. And we're going to have fun with it. And there's going to be a lot of people trying to cheat in the game, and they're going to get penalized for it, and that's exciting too. So that's what's going on with that. Streets of Rage is going to be dope. Remedy's online multiplayer game brainstorm, that's going to be dope. Xbox All Access. Danielle, what's going on there?
I think they really, really, really want people to be on the Xbox train there. It seems like a really good deal. I don't dislike my Xbox. I know that I always like make jokes at it. I don't dislike it. But there's nothing that draws me to like even though I pay for my gold subscription every month, there's nothing that draws me back to it. Like, whenever there's a game, it's like I can always get it on my PC. Like, there's no exclusive. It's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, it's an.
It seems like a really good deal, though.
I think it's really, really good. So you have no upfront cost, one low monthly price, and what you're getting an Xbox One console, Xbox Live Gold, plus the Xbox Game Pass. And what else did they say? 24 months of Xbox Game Pass, 24 months of Xbox Live Gold, limited time offer for qualified customers, all brand new Xbox One S, 1 terabyte or Xbox One X consoles, including available console bundles, can be purchased with all Xbox All Access. No leasing or renting. You own the console outright. I think if you're looking for a subscription model type thing, because subscription models have been a thing for a very, very long time, if that's the thing that you want, this is, as you said, completely agree with you. It's a perfect thing. Now, I have a slight irritation, and it's not with Xbox. Even though the question, so I guess I have to frame this right. because everything lives on the internet now. So I'm trying to be even more careful in what I say, whether there's weight to what I say or not, right? So I was trying to get some information from PlayStation, and I don't think they were answering the question I was asking. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I need to really be careful with my words. Okay. Because that's the world we live in today. So the PlayStation, the max that you can get when you purchase, not necessarily when you upgrade the hard drive, is 2 terabytes internal, right? That if you buy a PlayStation 4 Pro, is it the 2 terabyte? That's the max that you can buy, like from the store, out of the box, right? Something like that.
Right.
Okay. When you upgrade it, you can upgrade it to either a 4 or something else internal, right? The 2.5 millimeter, whatever that hard drive size is, right? External, according to their website, you can get up to 8 terabytes external, right? But they do not mention what's the max for the internal, okay? So I'm going back and forth on Twitter with PlayStation and asking them specifically. My original question was, what is the max internal that I can put inside of a PlayStation 4? And they still haven't answered my question. So there was another website that ended up answering the question. And I'm like, do they not want individuals to know that you can go 8 terabytes on an internal swap? I don't know. But it took another website to show that information, because their main PlayStation help does not talk about the max internal. It only talks about the max external, which is 8 terabytes. But the max internal, for those of you listening, is apparently 8 terabytes also. So you can have 8 terabytes internal and then external, and that's a total of 16 terabytes. But they don't say that on the thing. And I just, it was an irritation for me. That's all. I think I'm done with that.
8 terabytes is a lot.
I know. But my thing is, 2 terabytes is a lot. Even though I deleted some stuff, I'm not playing on a regular thing now, because I did the swap for the 2 terabytes. But my thing is, you want people to use your stuff. Yeah, you're deleting 2-to-1 selling console and stuff like that. But I think that information would matter. I don't think an external website should have that information. I think you should. Maybe I'm just overreacting. I don't know. But I think that your website should have that information. If the max internal swap is 8 terabytes, why isn't it on your website? Unless I'm missing something. It could be me. I'm not saying that I'm completely right about that. I could be completely wrong. But it didn't make sense to me. And so that's what's going on with that. Xbox All Access, I think, is a dope deal. Daniela?
It is. If I was on the market for one, or I didn't have one yet, I think that this would be a great deal to be jumping on, especially for the 24 months of Xbox Gold. And then you have the 24 months of the Game All Pass, the Game Pass. Just those two things alone, I think, is great. And he pretty much, it's interest-free. That's better than buying it on your credit card. just saying.
Hmm. So why would they tell you when they want you to buy the limited edition PS4 Pro 2 terabyte for $500. Okay, so before, okay, so I'm trying to think about this for a second. So before I knew that the PlayStation Pro was going to be a thing, I already knew I was going to max as much as I can put in the internal swap for the because I still have the regular PlayStation 4, right? So I knew I wanted to do at least 2 terabytes. And I think that when individuals were trying to do 4, and then there's that other company, Nico or Nico, depending on how you pronounce that, they were doing the bulk hard drive on top, which was maxing out at 4 terabytes at the time. And before the 4.5 5 update or something like that, there were errors that were taking place when you're trying to do a bigger hard drive. But I didn't have any issues when I did the 2 terabyte. So I knew that in time, with competition with Xbox, because Xbox was already doing the external hard drive, if I remember correctly, the PlayStation was going to follow suit sooner or later with the external hard drive, because that ability for the PlayStation didn't come till later, if I remember correctly, right? So I was okay with that. But my thing is, if you're saying 8 terabytes for the external, and people are already putting in maybe 4 or other stuff in the internal hard drive, if they're buying your system anyway, I think that's a plus, because I can't just quickly swap out my Xbox hard drive. I have to do an external first. If I wanted to do the internal for the Xbox, I would have to go through some hoops, right? I'd have to jump a couple of things before I do that. So, and I pay, what do we pay? $399 or something like that for the PlayStation 4 when it first came out, right? $399.
Yeah, no, something camera, like that.
No camera. And then we did the upgrade, 2 terabyte. And then Straight Sick Nasty, I'm running your HDD right now. Your HDD SSD, right? That you sent right now, and that's running my 30 frames per second Destiny 2 on my external, which is really, really dope. So I like the flexibility of that. I just think that the information would not make me leave the ecosystem knowing that I can have more. I think it is a benefit for me in that regard. So yeah, it could be a money thing. It could be something that I'm not seeing, which is perfectly fine. But if I'm asking a direct question about something, I think that, you know, yeah. That's what's going on with that. Anthem.
Hold
demo.
Up. I need to say Straight Sick Nasty. Where are they still selling that? Because if you're talking about the 2 terabyte, the 500 million limited edition one, that is so not sold anywhere. It's sold out on Best Buy. It is for like $1,000+ on Amazon. Mm. Believe me, I tried to buy that.
What, the blue one?
It didn't happen. Yeah, the translucent blue one. Yeah. I wanted that one so badly. I wouldn't have kept the 2 terabyte. I would have upgraded that. But I don't see nobody selling that for $499 still.
Word.
Like, it's on eBay. It's ridiculous.
$2,000 on eBay. That's
insane. I know some collectors who are actually selling it. I know Trusty, I guess it could be Instagram sellers, that they bought like 4 or 5 of them and they're selling it. Even them, they're selling it for like $750.
Word.
They kill me. It kills me.
Word. Limited to 50,000 units worldwide.
Yep, we talked about this one before, the limited edition one. It's funny because I've seen so many people who got them directly from Sony. I'm like, man, as much as Sony is giving it away to people who represented them, these big names, like, I feel like you only had 10,000 left over for people to buy. And whatever.
They probably bought in bulk. They probably bought like 10,000.
Good God.
So they could distro it to their peeps. yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on with that. Anthem demo February, and there's a trailer for that. Trailer will be linked in the show notes.
What did you think about it?
Okay. So full disclosure, I didn't look at the trailer yet. And here's why. Here's why.
Why?
Because I don't know how I feel about the game yet. I don't know how.
Do you feel it's going to be taken away from your Destiny? Because I feel like Anthem is going to be my Destiny. Like, what I feel, what I look for in Destiny that Destiny didn't have. Well, at least for me.
Okay, so
I know you really enjoy it, but I don't know. There's something about Anthem that just gets. What do you mean?
What Destiny didn't have? What do you mean what Destiny didn't have?
Just for me.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy, whatever. It looks like a lot of fun. I like these different creatures and these aliens. I don't know. I dig it. I like also, I know that Destiny has your 4 different, or is it 4? can't remember. Maybe it's three different types. You have your, what is it, your warlock, your hunter.
And your titan.
Titan. Okay, so, I mean, Anthem is kind of similar. They have four different kind of mech suits that you can wear, these right. Jaegers, yeah, and they have different abilities. I am.
Yeah.
Okay, I am. So, and I think maybe that is what really gets me.
Okay, may I ask a question?
What's up?
Do you feel that Destiny lacked fill in the blanks? What did it lack for you that you didn't vibe to it?
I don't know, meaningful content.
Can you please explain that?
I guess it just didn't, like, the storyline didn't ring well with me. It just didn't, like, what I felt like I accomplished wasn't very fulfilling for me.
Okay.
And Rurutu Anthem comes out February 22nd.
Okay, so
2019.
What you felt like you accomplished, so you're talking about gameplay then?
Yeah, gameplay, like even doing the main story. Like, you get to the end, you defeat him, and then you're like, and that's it?
Okay, so...
That's really it.
All right. So I have something to share with you. It's not gonna change your mind about this.
Okay.
It's not. But what it will do, but you have to promise me you're gonna watch it, though.
Okay.
Fair enough. What it will do, though, is give you the story from Destiny 1 leading into Destiny 2. It will do that. So it's a very, very informative video by a great lore creator. My name is Bife on the Destiny stuff. And he does other stuff too. But that video is going to be, like, to me, it was informative. And I've been playing Destiny for the last 4 years.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So, no, just one of those things. Just one of those things I just want to share with you. So Anthem, I'm not convinced yet because of the things that you may be sharing here in relation to storyline and gameplay. And I'm not a mech person, with the exception of Titanfall, because I really like that. If you consider Titanfall a mech thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I like Titanfall. And I did end up picking up Titanfall 2, which I still need to go through. I heard the campaign was amazing, so I need to check that out. Seems like you were one of those fans. Destiny 2 lacked... Okay, so there's a little conversation going on in the chat right now. Seems to be heating up. Who's winning?
Well, okay. Destiny 2, I will say, straight off the bat initially, Destiny 2 is better than Destiny 1. Destiny 1, I instantly just felt like this is it. This is the world. Like, it looks pretty, but I really wasn't impressed. I really did not like how incredibly grinding it was. And Destiny 2, it didn't have that so much, but there was still a bit of a grind to it.
Right.
And even then, For me, it was just lacking that feel of accomplishment. If I got something, it was just, it didn't have that same rewarding feeling that I liked.
Okay.
And it's not to say that Anthem will or will not have it. I like what I see of it. Will I be buying any special edition or some huge collector's edition? Probably not. Only because I kind of have that mentality as Destiny does. And I'm willing to give this a really good try, kind of like I did for Destiny, and see where it goes. Is it a $60 investment in a risk? Yeah, it is. But I like it for the Jaeger suits that's happening, the four different classes, the world that it's creating. I like the design so far of the different characters and the baddies. And, you know, I think for me, it's worth that try.
Right. Okay, so to be fair with Anthem, it looks really good. It looks really, really, really good. And one of the things I really like about it, just to be fair, is the flying. Okay. I don't know what's going on with that whole flying thing, but I really dig that. Like I said, I dig the flying. And have you tried Destiny 2 on PC? I don't know if that's directed at us. I have, and I did like it. It was pretty neat. So I really enjoyed it. So I'll give Anthem that. In terms of what people are worried about right now, even you listening right now, you're probably worried about the fact that, is it going to have in-game content that's going to keep you coming back? Because that's the thing that hurt Destiny a little bit. Definitely Division a lot, where they had to go back into the, drawing boards, back on the table and figure out what was going on. And now Division is back with a vengeance, right? Better than ever. So that is the thing that is the concern for the individuals who are considering investing into these online, ongoing multiplayer games, right? That's the main concern. In terms of graphics, it looks great. In terms of, like you said, the mech stuff, that looks dope. In terms of, voice acting and all that stuff, that's amazing. We get that. But is it going to hold me coming back? What's the roadmap going to be for content? That's really the main question right now. And as they, develop the game and bring it out for us to check out, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
And that's kind of how I am going to just see how it plays out, see what it offers. I think for games like that, and even though it's not a fair comparison to it, when there's such a huge world and so much that can go on, I think of games like that are true MMOs. DC Universe Online is the first one that comes to my mind for whatever reason. Had a lot to do in that main world, in the main story. And yeah, you're playing these DC, you're playing superheroes, and that's always cool. But even if you didn't want to do the main story, there was so much in the open world for you to go and check out. There's so much to do in your own base. There's so many other little side quests that had their own stories that add value to it. So it's like it was more than just that in the world. And I come to that point in multiplayer games such as Destiny and what may or may not be Anthem. Is I want to have more than just what is that main story. I like having the side quests and those having their own little stories. Warframe even does it. Warframe has their main story. And then you can go into different hubs and you can do little side quests and ads. And I enjoy that. That type of grind when I'm still having to collect things and it doesn't feel monotonous.
Right. Witcher 3 had those world-building quests as Rurutu.
Yes, Witcher 3 will, Cyberpunk will too, which we'll be talking about Cyberpunk in a little bit. There's always so much onto it. I think even Dragon Age Origins, that's a single player game, very similar to what Witcher is. It adds to that story, so you don't feel like you're forced to grind out. There's still something, there's an extra layer above that grinding that you don't even notice because there's a story that's being added to it. There's something for you to feel accomplished for doing these tasks, not just like, hey, I got all of these items, I can craft this now and yay, I have it. But you don't have the story, you don't have this adventure that you had to go along with this grind. Word. And that's what I like.
Word. Man of Medan?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. Is it Medan? Madan?
Madan. It's one of those. It has to be. What did you think of that?
I love supermassive games. Well, okay, not the genre of supermassive games, but the actual studio supermassive games. They're also the creators behind Until Dawn. Very, very much story driven, pick and choose your adventures. I'm gonna say I love it. It's definitely gonna be a game that I'm going to get, hands down. And from what I can tell, it's a bunch of people who go on a deep diving adventure somewhere, I think it's South America. They end up going into the ruins of a sunken ship and I guess pulling some stuff out.
Why would you do that?
Because they're adventurers. But I guess, there's some spirits that are lingering with these items and they come haunting them. And they says it's going to have way more multiple endings than Until Dawn did. Much more submersive game. So I'm looking forward to it. Plus, I love the whole facial motion tracking and graphing that they do. It's like it just gets better and better every time. So
mold causing hallucinations.
Hallucinations. Of course, my phone goes off. That's super professional right now. Right?
This phone call is brought to you by Daniela. Hello, Daniela. How are you? So while she does that, I don't like scary games. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of jump scares. So if any game has that, I heard recently this movie called A Quiet Place, where there's no sound in the movie, and the trailer showed a boy apparently picked up something and it made noise, and these monsters were lingering. They can't see you, but as soon as you make noise and something, you know, happens, you probably die or something like that. So I don't know if I want to watch that, A Quiet Place. But at any rate, a super massive games, this is not for me. I don't think
this is always so for me. So is that movie, A Quiet Place. I still have yet to watch it. But yeah, so I'm like, they came out, they announced this at, was it Gamescom? Gamescom 2018. They show some gameplay of it. Very selection based. I have to play it. There, you can't. You cannot not play this. I cannot not play this. I have to. I love horror games. I'm always on that search for that game that scares me.
I know. That's your thing.
I'm waiting for it.
You're
it
waiting
is.
For it. I strongly believe that the Destiny 1 fans talking duty on D2 will be back and loving Forsaken. Bungie is going in the right direction from what I have seen so far. Really excited for the future of Destiny 2. But yet again, I am cautious. There is lots of sound, but one of the main characters is deaf, and sometimes they show it from her perspective, cutting out all sound. That's okay, so that's for the movie. I'm done with Destiny. We'll move on now. Sorry, guys. No, don't be sorry. I mean, that's why we're here. We're here to read your comments so we can make the show even better than it is. So Destiny 2, definitely excited. They did the roadmap. They gave This Week in Bungie on August 30th, 2018, which had the two trailers in there, if I remember correctly, and the roadmap for things to come. So there's a lot to be excited for as it relates to Destiny. Grindy, I agree. Daniela, as you were mentioning before, they took the grind away earlier in Destiny 2 because they wanted to do to improve the quality of life, and that turned out to be a bad thing. And then the hacker looked at the code and saw that we were being duped with Eververse and how the progression system was for the XP, which made the great game that we're getting now, because they had to be more transparent with the community to involve the community in the things that they're doing now. And that's how we got here. So that's that. Cyberpunk 2077 impressions, which is the last topic of this episode, episode 467. Daniela, it was 48 minutes of awesomeness, which you did post in the Discord for us. I didn't even realize that was happening the day that you posted that. So thank you for posting that. I did watch the whole thing, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Oh my God. Okay. So forever to this day, whoever took that picture of Paris when he exited the room for Cyberpunk 2077 after that demo, I think you know what picture I'm talking about. When he's like, that was my face after seeing this too. Like, I get it. I understand why Paris looked the way he looked. And man, I wish you could have seen this at E3, but I'm glad that we're seeing it now regardless. Okay. Little critiquing is going to be negative. Did it really need to be 50 minutes? I mean, yes, having more is great, but when you have a gem like this and building up the hype for it, I mean, 25 minutes have been okay. But I guess they wanted to play out a whole mission. Right. I get it. They wanted to show everything very extensively. But I felt like some of that could have been cut out or put into other places to reduce the amount of time of it so they could have more showings. I believe this is the same demo that they showed at Gamescom as well. So happy for anybody who got to see it. Now, this world is beautiful. The gameplay was awesome. Even if like they throughout the demo, they do constantly remind you that, you know, this isn't the final product. It's still a work in progress. But I'm thinking, I'm like, man, if this is what you came out with tomorrow, I don't think I'd be disappointed. I really don't. And then following through with everybody who did get to see the demo at E3 and thinking back of the negative, I guess, impressions and articles that came out about being transphobic or about, you know, the nudity. The game starts with you going to this mission for, you know, somebody's body is being harvested for their parts, an actual real being who just had so much modifications that they're just harvesting them. I don't see it. It wasn't offending to me. You're rescuing another human being, although how much of their actual body is left over, don't know. Right. But it's a rescue mission. They're harvesting. I mean, you're not going to buy this for your 13-year-old kid. Granted, there's going to be a 13-year-old who convinces their parents to get it, but that's not the demographic they're going for, and that's very obvious. So, yeah, I still don't even get those negative articles that came out for it, but I love everything about it. Even like the amount of detail they went into, you get to choose and customize your character, but something I've never really seen before is being able to create a character and you choose that character's backstory.
Right.
So I can only leads me to believe that your backstory will affect how your character's like, I guess, reacts to things, what they have to say, your storyline. And I think that's amazing and so incredibly submersive. Oh,
yeah,
just so much.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's the driving, there's the bullet time, which remind me of Max Payne. They didn't call it that, but, you know, evading things and slow-mo moving through and shooting stuff, which is really, really dope. And the way you customize not necessarily the weapons, but how you interact with the world and how it affects even the interactions with the people within the quests and the missions that you're doing. I think that was like triple, quadruple layer deep on how you're responding to things, and the way you respond will determine what happens next within the story, if you went guns blazing or not guns blazing. You know, with that particular mission, it didn't feel like 48 minutes.
No, it really didn't. I mean, I know I complained that it was long physically. It was a bit long that you couldn't. Pretty much, you only have one group of people watching it a day or every hour. But it didn't feel like that's how long I was watching it for. I was so captivated. And then when it ended, I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
I want to play this.
Yeah, it's definitely mature.
I
want to
play this so bad.
It's definitely a mature audience. Language is definitely mature. So yeah, I really enjoyed everything that I saw there. And I'm glad that we saw it the way we did, because, you know, I didn't want to be disturbed. I didn't want to be, you know, bothered as I was watching it. I wanted to fully take that in, you know. So I'm glad we saw it the way we ended up seeing it. We can watch it again and again and again. But it's beautiful. It's definitely beautiful.
It is. And it's even like the just... Okay, so one of my favorite things about Watch Dogs was how the people in the environment reacted and how you can check them out. It's like they took that little element of Watch Dogs and they applied it to them, because you're in this city and you have so many people walking around, interacting, doing these things, and you can kind of spot exactly kind of what these people are doing. You know what's a very weird thought I had when watching this? What's like that? I want to see how in depth they went with like programming even these little NPCs that are walking around. Like, I think one of my goals when I'm playing is I'm just going to pick one random NPC and just follow them around.
just follow them around the world?
Yeah, see what they do. I'm like, I really want to see how in-depth you got with this, because it's a beautiful world. I thought that was pretty awesome. And then the fact that every mission as well can have so many different multiple outcomes. Like they're giving examples like, okay, you could have chosen to raise that $50,000 to buy the bot on your own. Right. You didn't have to take it from her. You could have just stolen it. You could have done this. You could have done a lot of things. Like, and the one thing that we thought about when we watched it, me and my boyfriend watched it, was what if you did take the 50,000 credits from, you know, this lady, but you didn't buy the bot? What if you used the 50,000 credits of your own and you used her 50,000 credits on somebody else? Like, what if you used it to buy an upgrade for yourself? Would it have the same effect? Because once you handed over the 50,000 credits to buy that bot, that guy's system like blew up and it just, everything went crazy. Would that have happened if you spent that money elsewhere for upgrades?
Right. So,
and if you used your own money, say you had your 50,000 of your own and you had her 50,000 on your own,
right,
and you bought the bot with your own money and you still ended up giving her the information or whatever that you wanted, would she have known? Like, I want to go that deep into it and see where it goes.
Maybe. Yeah, it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. I like the fact that you can walk around and it doesn't feel like you're limited to what you can do in the world. And the fact that the world is huge for exploration purposes, and talk about a lot to do. That's definitely a lot to do. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention to you was Detroit Become Human calls the different crossroads permutations, right? If I remember correctly. And it was like over 1,000+ permutations and different decisions that you could do in the game as it relates to Detroit Become Human. I wonder, they didn't say anything about, you know, how many different crossroads you can take. They just kept it very broad, which very interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing exactly where they're going to go with that. And the other thing too is they're developing the game, but I don't know, do they have a publisher yet? That's the other question too, because a lot of conversations in the streets, speculation is that was a big, you know, like a business plan thing, a presentation basically, for the individuals who would potentially publish the game and what that would look like for them. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just talking.
So they wouldn't be able to publish their own game because they're the same people who made Witcher.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, maybe. Just throwing it out there. I mean, maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
How linear will this be? Detroit Human was all linear. Well, Detroit Human, Detroit Become Human and Cyberpunk 2077, two completely different game, different publishers or pretty much different studios. So you can't really say if it's going to be linear or not. It is open world. If you ever played Witcher 3, which is done by CD Projekt, they're also making Cyberpunk, you'll get a better understanding how linear or not linear it actually will be. And there's a lot that can be happening, and I would assume that you can actually take on multiple quests. It is supposed to be I think I'm gonna have the internet correct me on this. I think it's supposed to be 3 times bigger. The world is supposed to be 3 times bigger than Witcher's 3 was, and that is a really, really huge game in itself. I liked Witcher 3, but it wasn't necessarily too big for me. It was more of, it was too big in a world that I'm not interested in, because it's just like not the era, but that theme that was going on. That's kind of why I don't really like Elder Scrolls. And why I don't like games like Red Dead Redemption. When it has that certain theme that doesn't really captivate me, I'd lose interest really super, super quick. But you add mechs, you add futuristic timeline, like even Fallout, I would totally falls into that. I can be invested in, and I don't mind at all. More. I love it. I can be engrossed and enjoy this world because that's something that speaks to me directly. What I like.
Word.
It's very Blade Runner-esque right here.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to some of the things that you were mentioning. So it is being developed by them. The engine is the Red Engine 4. It is being published by them. The speculation that I heard in different spots was that this the holdup could have been tied to, you know, some business conversations.
The only thing that I don't like about this game is that I am very limited on the first person games that I can play. This is going to be in first person. I personally, not just because I want to be selfish, but I would love if they had an option to play this in a third person perspective. It would have been great. I mean, obviously throughout this game, you're going to be buying modifications. You're going to be changing what your character, who you play, V, basically is the main character's name, is going to be looking like. When you have that level of customization, I love to look at my characters. Like, what's the point of having all this customization if the only time I'm going to be able to see it is in cutscenes or if I happen to look at a mirror? I want that option. I'm kind of hoping that they have, like Fallout. Fallout is very notorious of people only playing it in first person, but it has that option to be played in third person. I am really super, super hoping that that will happen. And if not, there is some magical genius that makes a mod that I can do this. But that's my only thing.
Word. It's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of business stuff, a lot of holdups, a lot of delays. It's review season.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. I will wait. You know, look, I waited 5 years. 5 years of just one YouTube teaser that was 2 years ago. But I've been waiting 5 years for like more information. You know what? I can wait five more for that fully polished game and experience. If I can wait this long, I can wait double that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited about it because it's, you know, a lot of the things that we get to experience, a lot of games that we get to play, you know, we know for a fact that there's so many different conversations that happen behind the scene before we even get it to us. Even the delays. What was that game that was a big Microsoft game that it delayed a couple of times before it came out? I think it was exclusive to Microsoft. I can't think of the name of it.
I don't know.
I can't think of the name of it right now. But it was a game that they kept pushing back, and I don't even know if they ever came out with it. But for whatever reason, they were pushing it back. You know, it hurts the consumers because they want to play the game. But at the same time, the business decisions that take place behind the scenes for whatever happens with the direction of the game, you know, affects
the everybody. The only game I can really think of that got several delays, but it was inevitably canceled, that was a Microsoft exclusive, was Scalebound. That's currently the only one that's Scalebound. Coming to my mind right now.
Scalebound didn't make it. What about that
which that broke my heart too.
That open world, you know, guy running around shooting things, blowing things up. What was that for Microsoft? I really can't think of
that. I can't think of that.
Microsoft.
There's a lot of games like that.
Exclusive.
There's a lot of games like that.
It's like exclusive games. I think it would be either the second or third version of the game for Microsoft. Crackdown. That's what it is. Crackdown 3, 2019. How many delays did Crackdown get?
I have no clue.
Yeah, I think it's been pushed back quite a bit. Polish or this or that. A lot of business decisions. And it's a theme. Sup, chicken nugget. I like cheese as well.
I like white cheese.
I like sliced cheese on wheat toast. So that's what's going on with that. Any final thoughts before we begin to wrap?
Nope.
All good?
Got nothing. Good. hope everybody have a great 3-day Labor Day weekend.
We're definitely enjoy your time. It's been a great show, episode 467. Definitely check out 466, which dropped on Sunday, mid afternoon. So definitely check that out. That's already in the archives, theshowradio.info. And Daniela, close us out.
So thanks for tuning in to The Show Radio. You can find The Show Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you haven't yet, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcatchers and subscribe, rate, and review our show. For our show notes, donation options, or our podcast archives, please check out the description of your podcast app or visit theshowradio.info. So thanks again for tuning in, and see you guys on the next episode. Bye!